Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Famous actor and director Robert Redford was walking one day through a hotel lobby, and a woman spotted him and followed him and went along. When he got to the elevator, he pushed the button, and she ran to him and says, "Are you the real Robert Redford?" And as the doors were closing, he said, "Only when I'm alone." Lookalikes and doubles and impersonators are all good and well when it comes to entertaining. But when it comes to Christian faith, for far too long, the church has gotten a reputation as being hypocritical. Funny that that's exactly what Jesus called the religious leaders of that first century as well. We need to understand and examine, make sure that we are staying the course. And for those who are off center, to make sure they don't take us along with them. And so today we're going to continue in 2 Peter and Peter's warning of the rise of the false prophets. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the safety given to us this morning to arrive here. And Lord, now as we're here and in your presence, as we sung praises to your name, acknowledge you, may we now learn from you. May you allow us to gather in all the truth that is there to encourage us in our walk to be Christ-like. And Lord, that we would find strength from this time and this moment. Bless us, Father, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Take your Bibles, and if you haven't already done so, turn to the book of 2 Peter, well near the end of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2, as we look at the first three verses. He says this, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly induce destructive heresies." Introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Some of the Bible titles you have in your Bibles kind of lay out the next section. In the New American Standard Bible, it lays it out as the rise of the false prophets. And Peter just completed his thoughts in the previous two verses that, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." And then goes on in verse 1 to say, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you." False prophets has always been around. There have always been those that Satan desires to raise up and speak words that point towards self than towards God. Throughout history, where God would speak through a prophet, Satan would also influence people to speak on their own accord in order to deceive and have God's people take their eyes off him. Peter describes false teachers in detail in this chapter so that Christians would always recognize their characteristics and their methods. The greatest sin of those who reject Christ and the most damning work of Satan is the misrepresentation of the truth through subtle deception. It doesn't come sometimes swiftly or strongly, but just little subtle movements, day by day, day by day. Nothing is more wicked than for someone to claim to speak for God in regard to things of salvation, the salvation of souls, when in reality they speak for Satan, and where the end result will be eternal separation from God. They were present in the past. The Israelites were warned in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, where it says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let's go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. There's more warnings in Jeremiah chapter 23 and Ezekiel chapter 13. Jesus warned the people in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Many, many other verses throughout the Bible tell us to watch out for those that appear to be holy and right and good, but really they're out for themselves. Satan has always endeavored to infiltrate groups of believers with the deceptions of false teachers, many times finding the willing hearts within the body itself amongst the people to raise up. Since Eve, he has been in the deceit business. I thought about things in the present, and so I Googled. Google's such a great thing to do. In fact, we've learned that phrase as parents now. When your child asks you something, Google it. Save so much time and effort and breath. Just Google it. Report back to me what you find out. I think that'd be a good thing to do, start reporting and writing things out. That's in Josh Hyde's head. This does not apply to me. And so I looked at some of these things and I found some interesting names. I want to share them with you, some of these religious leaders. One was Henry Lyons, a former president of the National Baptist Church from 1994 to 1998, the largest Afro-American religious group in America. Problems began for Lyons in 1997 when his then-wife set fire to a $700,000 house he owned with another woman. From here, investigations were made into his finances, and in 1998, he was charged with one count of racketeering, two counts of grand theft, fraud, extortion, money laundering, and tax evasion. He initially protested his innocence and claimed the charges were racially motivated. However, I know it's funny, it's just almost ludicrous when you do that. However, in 1999, he was sentenced to 5.5 years for misappropriating over $4 million from the National Baptist Church. After his release in 2003, he returned to preaching and has repeatedly tried to regain his position of president of the NBC with his latest attempt in September 2009, according to when this was written. When Lyons was in office at NBC, he had made it a law that no one in the organization could sue the church. However, he brought a lawsuit against the organization in 2009 due to an alleged violation of the group's constitution. In 2007, he was a founding member and subsequently president of the General Baptist State Convention of Florida. One of the core values of this organization listed on the website is credibility, with this statement, stating we value the need to restore credibility to the church's work to bring salvation and healing to the world with pure hearts and motives. Jimmy Swaggart was another one that popped up, probably a very famous one. Pentecostal preacher and televangelist. He started preaching from a trailer in 1955, became a licensed preacher in 1959. By the 80s, had grown his following by way of radio and TV to a peak of 8 million weekly. Wow. Swaggart spoke very forcibly against sexual sins and gave his own particular thoughts on what the Bible was saying by way of what he called divine revelation, stating, that which the Lord gave to me, which I believe sheds more light on that which was originally given to Paul, pertains to the manner in which the Holy Spirit works within our hearts and minds. In 1988, he was accused of soliciting a prostitute, which he vehemently denied until the evidence was so strong that he admitted to some of the claims. Seemingly overwhelmed by remorse, he gave a tearful 1,900-word apology speech on a TV broadcast. Swaggart left the church he was with, and after a three-month break from preaching, he returned, saying, if I don't return to the pulpit this weekend, millions of people will go to hell. In 1991, he was caught again with a prostitute, but this time, rather than apologize, he took to the pulpit and said, the Lord has told me it is flat none of your business. Rabbi Fred Neulander was a sixth-generation rabbi and a founding member of the Makor Shalom Reformed Temple in New Jersey, which opened in 1974. A husband, a father of three, and a respected member of the community, Neulander returned home from his synagogue on Tuesday, the 1st of November, 1994, to find his wife, Carolyn, beaten and lying in a pool of blood. He called 911, but at no time made any attempt to go near his wife or to help her. A lengthy investigation ensued with Newlander as prime suspect. Eventually, he was brought to trial on the grounds that a woman with whom he had been having an affair testified that she had insisted that Newlander leave his wife, but that he had complained that divorcing his popular wife would compromise his credibility and authority as a spiritual leader, and even possibly causing him the loss of his job as a rabbi. On the eve of the trial, the actual killer confessed, stating that Newlander had paid him $18,000, which he had divided between himself and an accomplice. Although always claiming his innocence, in 2003, he was convicted of conspiracy to commit murder and was sentenced to 30 years life imprisonment. It saddened me in doing this. It saddened me in looking this, but as I'm reading it, but we have to understand, and I get through these two more, because it is important to see how popular sometimes false teachers can get. Ted Haggard was head of the National Association of Evangelicals from 2003 to 2006 and senior pastor of the New Life Church. Haggard, it appeared, was clear about his position on many issues of morality, including homosexuality, declaring, "We don't have to debate about what we should think about homosexual activity. It's written in the Bible." In November 2006, he was heading a charge to ban gay marriage in Colorado when the gay prostitute he had been seeing for the previous 3 years stepped forward, apparently having just become aware of who his client was and being appalled by his hypocrisy. Initially, Haggard denied all the allegations against him, including taking methamphetamine, until the evidence was overwhelming. At this point, he resigned all of his positions of power and agreed to undergo counseling for his sexually deviant behavior, that which would be a crime, I think, right now. Kevin, we talked about that. You can't look at it as being that. This is, even in this short number of years, it changed. In 2007, Haggard sent an email where he asked for donations to be made on his behalf to Families with a Mission. This was to help him support his family whilst he and his wife pursuing degrees. On a CNN interview in 2009, Haggard admitted to having a second sexual relationship with a male church volunteer. When asked whether he considered himself a heterosexual or gay, he said that his therapist had described him as a heterosexual with complications. Lastly, Warren Jeffs was the former president of the Fundamentalist Church of Christ, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, based in Utah. It's a break off one of the Mormon Church, more extreme maybe. Jeffs followed the FLDS tenet of celestial marriage and taught the church that a member needed at least three wives to get into heaven, and that the more a man had, the closer he was to heaven. It is claimed that Jeffs had around 70 wives, some of which were as young as 12 years of age. In addition, he was the only person the church allowed to perform marriages and was responsible for assigning wives to husbands. Plus, he had the authority to reassign wives and children to other families if the men did not fully conform to the church beliefs. In 2006-07, he was charged with allegedly arranging marriages with adult men and underage girls and 8 counts of... I won't even read that part. He was found guilty of several crimes and was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. In 2007, he resigned as leader of the church and confessed to his followers that he was, in fact, not the chosen prophet. They walk among us. They have power. They rise up and they direct people's lives. I remember the Jim Jones incident back in the 1980s and those many, many people he led astray thinking that they were doing right. In fact, one of the survivors of the news crew that went down there to interview him on the day that they killed everybody, he was one of the ones to manage to escape. I worked with him at Entertainment Tonight when I was there back in the early 80s. Have no doubt the time will continue on fully with false teachers, as Peter warns us, including those who live in the future. I couldn't think of a word F for future, so that's future as in pharmacy. For those who are going, that's not spelled right. Children, don't do this at home. Revelation chapter 20, starting verse 7. When the thousand of years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will come out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. Keep in mind, Jesus Christ has just now completed his physical thousand-year reign on the earth. Satan has been bound for that period of time, is loosed, and he is still able to deceive the world. And they came up on the broad land of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It is important for us to be aware, because their ministry is destructive. That which they teach, although they may appear to be holy and righteous, is destructive. Peter says these false teachers will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Destructive heresies introduced in secret. False teachers glorified in the privileges of Christianity, but treated its moral demands with indifference. Instead, they secretly introduce destructive heresies. Peter is addressing here the ethical implications of false teaching. The Greek word translated destructive means shameful or deliberately immoral. Heresies mean self-designed religious lies which lead to division and faction. Back in the years I lived in L.A., there was friends in the church that I was going to would actively go in, try and get other friends out of cults that were there and rising up, and trying to get them back on center in who Christ. Because if you want to understand what a cult is, ask them who they look at in Jesus Christ. Is he God? Is he eternal? You know, all the things that we take him and know him to be through God's word, they diminish so that they can get people's eyes off Christ. The word destructive is used 6 times in this letter and always speaks of final damnation. This is why it's so tragic. Makes a virtue out of the toleration of unscriptural teachings and ideas in the name of love and unity. The church has never been called to forsake truth for unity, but speak truth in love. False teachers parade themselves as Christian pastors and teachers and evangelists, but these tenets that they teach mislead the followers to their destruction. Jude, the half-brother to Jesus, also warned in Jude chapter, well, there's only one chapter, so you have to write chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." These lies even are so blatant as to deny the Master. The phrase "denying the Master" exposes the depth of the crime and the guilt of false teachers. Well, yes, that, but we can do this, or we can believe this. A lot of good, well-meaning people are knocking on doors day in and day out, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Shouldn't celebrate Christmas, birthdays, Easter, anything else. It moves us off from what we can celebrate with great joy. I loved worship today. I don't know if you noticed, but I got my classy boots on today. So I forgot to take my shoes off. But I just love the spirit, you know, in worshiping. I want to give God all of his praise. I want to keep in the focus of everything. I don't want to look at myself. I want to get the eyes off myself and on him. How can you deny the Master? How can you deny the one that paid the price for your sin, for my sin? That seems almost ludicrous for us, but it happens. People are getting pulled away day by day because life is hard, and this is easier. The word "master" only appears here, and it's an old word for absolute master. Christ, as also in Jude chapter 4, Lord appears 10 times in the New Testament, but the word Lord in that process, in that context, means one who has supreme authority, whether human authority or divine authority, has come together completely in Christ. Peter here warns that false teachers deny the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. Through their heresies, though their heresies may include the denial of the virgin birth, his deity, the bodily resurrection, the second coming of Christ, and the false teachers' basic error is that they will not submit their lives to the rule of Christ. All false religions distort Christology or who Christ is. The term "who bought them" speaks to Christ's death on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. One died that all might live. It was sufficient for Christ to die for all sins, but it is only efficient when we receive that gift of salvation that he offers and recognizes who he is. There's a responsibility for leaders in the Christian faith to submit to God, which the false teachers refuse to do. This passage is describing the sinister character of false teachers who claim Christ but deny his lordship over their lives. And they bring destruction on themselves. Swift destruction, Peter says. This is always the tragedy of false prophets and the fate that they bring on themselves. It refers to either physical death or judgment at the return of Christ. That's why we don't have to really get bogged down with the things that we experience that are just not fair. My wife knows it's just, that's my tough one. That's not, and so she'll say, I know it's not fair, so it's not right. I'm beginning to learn to change my, some things are just not fair. But you know what? God takes account of every one of those, and he will right those in his time. The word says, vengeance is mine. We have to just release that and not let that grip us. But they are hard at work at leading many astray. That is their efforts. You can take it for granted. I don't think they do this much. I don't fly as much anymore. But you were always confronted by somebody at O'Hare Airport or Atlanta. And they want to, oh, I just want to, just, are you got a second? Can you? And they want to draw you over and they want to give you a book and they want you to see what they have. And it's such a wonderful, gentle thing. And they're very persistent in what they're doing. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. The truth of Christian redemption is held in contempt by many because of the immoral behavior of professing Christians. They're captivated by aroused sensuality. You know, it's just when riots happen, you know, it's just like a swell that happens, and people who normally would do nothing are caught in that, and they find themselves doing things that they just are free to do. And here they're given freedom to do things that the Bible says that they shouldn't do. But it excites them. People profess to be Christians but deny Christ's lordship over their lives, refusing to live as obedient servants to Christ and his word. Instead of following Christ, they instead follow the lusts of the flesh, the world, and the devil, the three enemies we just talked about. And each one of those, if you're a believer in Christ, can recognize the fact that they attack you every day. At least I pray that you understand that they're doing that. That they're attacking your spirit to get you to do something, to trip you up in something that they know that you don't want to do, but the struggle is there. That's a good thing, by the way, if the struggle is there in your life. But listen to the right answer. Because the false teachers are maligning, they're doing maligning of the truth. Peter says that because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. The world mocks and scoffs at the gospel of Jesus Christ because of nominal Christians who do not follow the Lord that they claim. And they've been unmasked as hypocritical people. And it's become so visible because of media, because of social networking, because of the ease of telecommunications now. Man, when a someone of faith trips up, it is all over the place. Can't be done in secret anymore, or can't be hidden under the carpet. Even the governor of California has a strange accent. And the sad part, it even seems that some of them are not even embarrassed by it. The Bible says you'll be found out. You know, God does know, and when he has a purpose of things, he'll bring it to light. He says, in their greed, they will exploit you with false word. Greed, in their greed, that is uncontrolled greed. The false teachers did not hesitate to take advantage of their followers in order to enrich themselves. The tragedy is that many false teachers are highly successful, and so people follow them that they too might have success. If I just follow him, or if I just follow her, maybe I can be successful too. There's a teacher up in Midland who one day saw a broadcast of just the wife, I think it was a wife that claimed this big, I think Escalade, big, that's a Cadillac, isn't it? Big Cadillac. You know, God gave me this and God wants you to have one too. People get all excited about that. You know, God wants to give me a brand new car. Who's going to pay for it? You will. You'll pay for her car too in the process. The worldly and rich despised and took advantage of the poor in the first century, even the religious leaders, and it still continues on. Some years ago, probably about 30 years ago, a group of friends of ours in L.A. went down to see Ernest Ainsley. I don't think he's on TV anymore, but we just want to go and see this guy because you're on TV just kind of like, you know, you put your hand on the TV and stuff. Never understood that, but he had his hand there. But we went there and we watched him, and I tell you, I will say this. The people who came up were sincere. The actions with it didn't seem as so. And I pray against the critical spirit, you know, but when this guy says, take a $10 bill and wave in the air, wave it. People are waving. This is the Long Beach Convention Center, mind you. This is not like a Grace. He didn't come to Grace. Of course, this didn't exist, but as a video store. But they're waving this money up there. It says, now take out a $20 bill, you know, and people are just like frantically waving like it's going to, you know, catch on fire or lightning will come down. Buckets were passed for those money. Those who can take out a 50, take, write a check. Amazing. Really amazing as the people there were getting all worked up, lined up with. I pray that God, and I want to balance it with this. I talked with the guy yesterday who came to clean our chimney because I've been dying to build a fire. I'm a pyromaniac at heart. But we didn't want to build a fire in case the chimney was not safe. And this guy, Tom, who came and looked at it and believe it or not, said, you know what? It looks good. I don't have to even clean it. He was a believer. And we began to talk, and we talked probably an hour and a half at the doorway, telling me a story that 2 years after he found Christ in 1989, had back injury, and he was going to change careers. And he went to interview with this guy, I think it's Roth Real Estate, I'm not sure, but he was talking with him, and Roth was a believer. He said, tell me about that. Why do you want me to go into real estate? He said, well, I can't work as a, he does beautiful brickwork and fireplace and stuff. And he said, why? He said, well, I had this fall and I got this pain in my back I just can't get rid of. He said, come with me. And he drove into this guy named Warren. Asked if I knew him. He said, I escaped from Flint long ago. I've been gone for a long time. Anyways, and the guy began to pray over him and to touch his head, to touch his feet and his hands, and he was healed from this pain. I believe that. I believe that God didn't want any money for it. Just praise God. You know, I have a problem with the circus. I don't have a problem with God healing people. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I get concerned with all the workup. You know, when Jesus healed, I don't think he did that. In fact, when he healed, he often told him, don't tell anybody. That's the quickest way to get the word out, isn't it? And as Tom was talking, you know, and sharing these things in his life, tears, you know, were coming down his eyes. This big, burly man could take me down in a second. And I'm going, man, it was just enriching for just us to talk to him. He said, you know, I'm late, but I don't care. You know, what a blessing for both of us. I said, you know, brother, I'm going to see you again. Doesn't go to church anymore. Lives out in Atlas. I gave him the card, you know, that's upon him. But, you know, I love that. I love when there is no greed involved. There's nothing just but God working in someone's life to heal them. And he also had, conversely, a person that he knew that was injured and brought them to him, and they had an eye that was crossed and couldn't straighten out. And he prayed for this woman, and the eye came back center and then went back again. He said, you don't have much faith, do you? See, Jesus said time and time, your faith has made you well. You know, your faith has healed you. But we have to believe that it's not the person, it's the power of God that's working through the person. Peter observed that the underlying motive of false teachers was not the love of truth, but the love of money. They exploited people, which gives the word picture as seeing them as merchandise. That's what the word means. Emporium. They saw them as merchandise to receive into themselves through their lies, which are false words. False words. In this case, it's an instrumental case. This is the instrument used for the greed. Words as to molding in clay. Forged words with the purpose at the end to draw out of them what they had. Have to be careful when we change the words and we make it more or different than what it intended to be. Saw a story of a small boy had a brand new wagon, loved this wagon. He was so excited about it. He brought it out to the front yard to play. His dad said, you know, son, you need to take that wagon to the backyard. He said, because it is Sunday, as his explanation why he had to take his wagon to the backyard. So the boy obediently did that, and while he was going, he was thinking, but it's Sunday in the backyard too. You know, if we're Christians in here, we're Christians out in the world, especially out in the world, not just on Sunday, but each day. Ultimately, their actions and attitude catch up with them, resulting in judgment. 3b, their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Their judgment refers to a verdict, not a process. At the great white throne judgment of Christ for unbelievers, there will be no defense. There will be no explanation. There will be no reasoning why they didn't choose Christ in their lives. Just judgment. And then it says it's not idle. Their judgment is not idle. It means it's not working. The principle that God is going to judge or condemn false teachers was set in place in eternity past, repeated throughout the Old Testament, and is not idle in the sense that it has not worn out or become ineffective and still potent and will come to pass. And then he says it's not asleep. Their destruction is not asleep. That word means to nod. Peter is personifying destruction as if destruction were an executioner who is fully awake and alert and ready to act when the time is right. Because God is by nature a God of truth, he will judge all liars and deceivers, as Scripture affirms throughout. In Christ, do not be fooled into thinking that because you don't fill a pulpit, you don't lead a ministry team, you don't volunteer maybe, or you don't lead a Bible study or whatever it might be, that your testimony doesn't count, because it does. We have to be true believers as well and not live false lives. And it's hard. People, it's hard even for pastors. But the struggle is worth it, because we know at the end is correct. You will teach those around you about Christ by your actions. And if you are the one of those that, like an angel on Sunday and a devil throughout the week, who do you think you're fooling? Couple of thoughts in closing. I think there's a good parallel between false teachers and hypocrites. The man who says he's kept away from church by hypocrites is not influenced by them anywhere else, though. Businesses follow them that he sees a chance at making money. He does not stop for that. Society is crowded with them, and yet he never thinks about becoming a hermit. Married life is full of them, but that does not make him remain a bachelor. Hell is full of them. And yet he does not do a thing to keep himself from going there. He wants to have you think that he's trying to avoid the society of hypocrites. And yet he takes not a single step towards heaven. the only place where no hypocrites can go. We have a mission, a commission in life. Not in self-righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ that is real, authentic, it's relational. And it is the only thing that can make a true difference in this world. I got a letter from Matt Shantz, who's taking over as the interim director for New Churches of Christ Evangelism, the organization that helped us out. And in NCCE, Flint is now seen as a mission place. But guess what? God saw that 7 years ago. When he put upon the heart, our heart, Drummonds and Checks to, and others that have come along to have a place that God can use as a beacon of hope, that truth can be taught. People, we need to be out there telling that and drawing people in. It's not just coming and staying, but going out and infiltrating the world for Christ's purposes. Next week, we're going to talk about the truth of if-then from God's perspective. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you again for this day and for the time given to us. Father, may we not be false in our testimony. May we not be false in our teaching or anything that we do. May we be continually putting you at the forefront, knowing that it's hard, but whatever we face, Father, you are greater. You are greater, and I thank you. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your graciousness, for your patience for us, and your great joy when we come and bring the things that we, the missteps to do, the not good days, and then you're so quick to forgive us. Strengthen us now, though, as we go out. Strengthen us as we try to be that difference in the world, to speak the truth. If we have the truth, Father, about your Son, if we have the truth about salvation, do not make our voices silent. Do not make our actions contrary. But, Father, help us in love to be the people you've called us to be, that you might receive all the praise and glory for it. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.